Welcome to the Tune In Game In Podcast. Game In Podcast. Tuning in to the gaming world of retro and modern. Retro and modern.
Is Warren.
Hello.
And back with us is good old Gaz. What's doing?
Good evening.
Yep, so how's the week been for both of you?
Not too bad. Just sorting out a few friends with my Ramble website. Just added a retro page to it. So we'll be doing some retro stuff on there. So that's kind of cool. I'm also in the process of changing the logo, just giving it a bit of a revamp and whatever. I don't know. I'm a bit of an amateur, so I've got my friend to help me out. But he's kind of cool. So.
Well, that sounds cool. So a bit work that works out.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, it's taking a while. I mean, to get used to it. I like saying yeah, because I saw some of the links you had posted some weeks ago, but I don't think you posted a link in a while now.
No, there's not been. We've been basically the minimal work has gone up on the site, a few little bits here and there, but yeah, we're just going to recruit some more writers, just giving the site a bit of a brush up as well, and then yeah, I'm just going to take it from there. It's cool. It's all good.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, my week. Yeah, well, I finally got a chance to go out and catch up with one of my friends I hadn't seen like face to face since 2002, 2003, and the babies that she had, they're now, one's like 18 and the other one's like 17. I was like, oh my gosh. So one of them plays soccer, you know, well, football, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. I just got a steady cam, so I got a chance to use that on a real project, which was actually very tiring, you know, to a point. So you know, if I wasn't used to moving so fast, granted I wasn't doing that much running, and actually I'll be working on those photos after this actually. What else is it? I want to say it's probably really it, because I've been doing like quite a bit of other stuff, like cleaning up a few drives here and there. I just transferred 430 gigabytes to a 2 gigabyte hard drive of like old video game recordings from what, 2009 all the way to 2012 was the last time I recorded anything.
And
yeah, so you know, I mean, it took 4 hours for that to transfer, over 4 hours and 30 minutes. Not sure why, but then the other hard drive, which was a terabyte, that was getting copied from, it was from what, 2008, if I'm not mistaken. So and it was slow. That's the reason why I was trying to transfer stuff over from it, because when I edit from it, it goes really slow and it lags basically. And so I was like, okay, it's time to replace that one. So that's what I was doing actually yesterday. But outside that, everything's okay.
Good stuff. So I think, just to mention while waiting, nothing really happened for me, really. Just a normal week, pretty much. So, nothing off the top of my head I can think of. So, it's been an average week, really. So,
cool.
Yep. So, shall we go on to today's topic?
Yep.
Okay, well, what I thought we could talk about is the price of getting gaming. Now, we'll focus more on the modern gaming or more recent gaming, and then we'll look at more like the retro side of game collecting and game prices at that end. But for now, we'll just focus on the game prices at the moment. So, first question to start us off: do you think the price of an average game is fair?
It depends what an average game is, because now the average game is a next generation game, PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, and now they retail from anything from £50 to £60, which is, I mean, I was buying Xbox 360 games brand new for £40, so that's a significant jump. It's about a 25% to 50% increase. So, I don't know. It's difficult because they're the games you want to play, don't they? And I still think games prices haven't changed much, have they, really? Not really. But I think at the moment, Xbox One games are a bit pricey for the average gamer.
Yeah, they seem to be fetching a little bit more than their last generation for the PS3 and 360, so what is exactly, again, I'm not sure.
I don't know, did it happen with the 360? Were them games expensive? It might come down in price, like the consoles come down in price already, so they might well just come down in price. So.
Possibly. I can't remember exactly how much they were, but I don't think they were what the price of the Xbox One and PS4 game is at the moment, but I couldn't be mistaken on that. But on sites like Amazon, you can get them quite a bit cheaper, like £10-20 cheaper or so. So, our place where we do a fair price for next-gen games, so... But again, like I said, guys, it depends on the game, because it depends how much content it gives you and how playable it is and if you want to keep playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thing about the games, okay, I always say this, I was like, yeah, well, I remember when you said the games are going to be cheaper when they come out on CD-ROM. Keep in mind that PC games were already on CD-ROM, so, you know, I don't know how I felt for this, but there was an announcement back in, late 80s, early 90s, where it says, yeah, video games are going to be on CD-ROM, and the game's going to be a lot cheaper. You'll be paying, like, between, you know, $25 and $35 per each game. And I never saw that come to light. And to me right now, I know next generation means new technology and everything, but to me, the average game price really should be between brand new, off the shelf, straight from the company, should be nowhere, no more than Spartan Concern. $30 to $35.
Yeah.
That's just me looking at the market and how mobile also, and this mobile wasn't even considered part of that, because I mean, I don't even know how to say this. This is like, you know, if we all were closer together, you know, there's games I'm going to want to force down your throat, like Crackdown, because I bought 4 copies of that, 1 copy for myself and 3 copies for my friends, because I that game had been out for a while, so I could buy it. I think the highest price I paid for was my copy, my copy was actually used. But even a brand new copy, by that time I could find a brand new copy, I bought it for about $30. So, you know, all in all, I bought, 4 or 5 games, less than $100, you know, compared to 2 brand new games at $59, because over here, our games are $59 a pop, brand new. Normally, that's a normal price. You know, like, you go buy Halo on the first, I want to say 7 months, it's $59. Eventually, now they drop the price down like $49, then $30, and then and you know, find it for any price. Even if you want to haggle, me, I'm not. If it's a new game, I'm not gonna really haggle the price, because I usually just, you know, hey, there it is. But also, I got now, you know, I used to spend, like, I guess if you want to call it, wastefully. You know how you go out and you just say, I want to get a game, and you just buy, hey, the game looks kind of nice, I'll check it out, I buy it. Even though you should have waited, you know, but I really think the average price of games should be, you know, no more than $45 brand new. I mean, that's my personal view, because now with how the current market is, that really should show, because come this summer, we're going to see a lot of stuff where that's going to affect a lot of people. And I'm not talking about digital copies, because honestly, really, I don't see how we, as people who play games, are letting these corporations sell us a digital copy only for the same price as a disc-based game. And I don't know if you remember, but back in the day, what they would tell us, the reason why games cost so much, because you got to pay for the printing to the disc, you got to pay for the book and the artwork, pay for the shipping, and you got to pay for the POS sales, which is, you know, on the shelf in the stores, you pay for the rental space. Well, if digital doesn't have any of that, why is the price still so high?
Which is a very good question. Which is the point was about to point out why a digital game more or less the same price as brand new games. I mean, I'm sure there's some people out there, obviously a collector like ourselves, who prefer a physical copy. But obviously the convenience of download is better. But like I said, once you cut all those costs out of printing and shipping and putting it in stores, then the cost should be somewhat cheaper. But
Well, it's not so much cheaper. It should be a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yes, yes, exactly. A lot cheaper.
Yeah, but in some cases, more than a physical copy, which just baffles me. It's just a thing. You're just paying to use it, put some of your hard drive space on the console, and you're not getting it any cheaper, or if not spending more money than you really wanted to.
Mhm. Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, some people used to, you know, they'll talk to me about the price, and I was like, you know, why? Like, well, Warren, if you're going to buy the physical, why are you getting digital? Because I want the digital so I can take it wherever I go, you know. And that's my dilemma now with the 3DS and buying games, because Nintendo, I'm going to use them as an example. Nintendo has done nothing 100% that I wanted them to do. I honestly assumed, my mistake, so actually, you know, I need to sit down and write a letter to Nintendo. I want to write in English and Japanese and send one straight to, you know, Nintendo of Japan. Why didn't they think of putting all of their old games that are already, everyone knows about them, like, okay, take Gaz and his kids. They probably never played ActRaiser. Well, because of Gaz, they probably have played ActRaiser. But I know a lot of kids who've never even heard of that game, like Smartball. Mm-hmm. And they see it, and they're like, oh my gosh, that game looks so good. Can I play? Like, yeah, you play. What is this game? Oh, Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo? What is that? You really got to ask me that question. But I don't say it out loud, because these are kids who, you know, they're the kind of kids that go out and they play in the yard. They may play on their cell phones or something like that, but they've never even heard of a Super Nintendo. And, you know, when I heard of Virtual Console on Wii, I really thought that Nintendo had a real good kick right there. Why not make it where every system from now on has access to this virtual console? But keep in mind, Nintendo's a toy company. They're not really electronics and programming. Games, and that's really it. Gaming and programming, interface, like what I'm talking about, that's not what they're really programmed for, but they're trying to get used to it. As you can see, they have the eShop up, and they have virtual console. But I thought they were going to have all the stuff where we would have on 3DS, where I can buy my game on 3DS, console and eShop. eShop means it's only made for the console, meaning if it's on eShop, it's only for 3DS, which means I won't be able to download it on 3DS and then play it on my Wii or Wii U. Well, I'll just say Wii U. Or if I buy it on eShop on my Wii U, I can't also play it on my 3DS. But now, actually, with the last update, that no longer is an issue. But I would love it for all virtual console games to be able to be purchased on either console. And then you buy it only once, and you get to play it on both consoles, on one, you know, one save or save on each system. But the price of those games, I mean, I just got in a small chit-chat with a friend who was actually idle at work, and normally we don't talk games, but he won't talk games. And basically what we were talking about were Time Gamer, but he was talking about how the prices, you know, are for, what was that, Earthbound. And it's like $9 for that game? Are you crazy? I was like, that game is awesome. You know, so who, you know, kind of, I guess the word thing I want to say is, who are we to kind of say the price of certain games when it's digital? You know, but how will we as gamers get the message across to the companies to let them know, hey, this is acceptable, but this is not?
Yeah. I've no surprise on the on the eShop or virtual consoles can be a bit much for virtual console games. Sometimes it's a good deal with Earthbound to get a licensed copy from the Nintendo for eShop for about $9, or I think it's about £7 over here. I mean, that's a fair price, because if you strictly no emulator, so it's a fair price to pay. But for other games that you get anywhere, and it's the prices from the Nintendo can vary. Sometimes they can do good deals, and sometimes they just have it a little bit too high for certain virtual console games when they only last maybe an hour or two, especially for like the Game Boy games.
Uh-huh. Yeah, some of those games, you know, me, I went and threw together my own little price list. You know, me, I'll say, like, Nintendo games, like old Nintendo, I say, you know, 99 cents to $5.99 cents for each one. Or, if Nintendo really want to be nice to the gamers, they should give away one free game per 2 months. Or have it where Okay, I'm gonna use Gaz again because since he has kids. Okay, Gaz seen like 4 or 5 games that he's never played. Nintendo was like, let me play them for free for a whole month, which means you get to play it for free. When the month is up, guess what? You can't play it for free anymore. By that time, Gaz should know, hey, yeah, I like this game. It's pretty cool. Or no, I don't. Or your kids play and say, no, Daddy, we like playing that game, but don't buy it because we had enough of it already. So therefore, he just saved all, you know, just saved, what, maybe like $40 just by not buying a game that he thought they might like. But moving forward with the prices, you know, with Super Nintendo, you know, these are my prices and what I feel okay paying, you know, like $1.99 to $15. For a Super Nintendo game, yes, I will pay $15 for X-Play. I certainly would, but they already have that on the system, and I think it actually costs like, I think like $12, or the price may have went down by now, because it's been out for like, I think like, what, 3-4 years now. Game Boy and Game Boy Advance games, you know, 99 cents to $10. I'm not familiar with the library because I skipped it, but I've heard a lot of good games are in that library. The N64 and GameCube, of course, they're going to be $5.99 to $15.99. Not that all games are really worth that. You know, like I said, these are just my suggested prices. But I really think they should have, you know, put a thought on that for more people to, you know, buy these games. You know, I'm not going to sit here and kind of argue with them. If the price isn't what I want, I'm just not going to pay it. You know, I'm going to say, oh my gosh, that's highway robbery. You know, if the other gamers think that, you know, like, I'll say, like, my sister, who didn't play many games, she played only the games that I let her play. But I know she wouldn't care mind paying, you know, $8 for Tetris, for Super Nintendo. I mean, sorry, for old Nintendo. She wouldn't mind. Brother, he wouldn't mind paying, you know, $10 for Killer Instinct, even though I think it's like $7.99. But if you get what I'm trying to say, is that they should have a price range for every section of games and not be all over the place like they when they first opened up, you know. And that's, I really think they should handle that, because the pricing really doesn't affect people's purchase.
Problem is now is that the average gamer simply just can't afford a new game, and it all goes back to pre-owned games. A lot of people have to wait until the price comes down, or have to buy it pre-owned at a cheaper price. It's and then that's, I mean, if it's digital, you're not going to get a digital copy pre-owned.
No.
And that's kind of the problem.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Because I did cover that for Xbox. Because I will say the other thing that I want on top of it, where a person like yourself and myself, we met each other, we know each other, and you'll say, wow, Warren, you can, and basically, since we're friends, you'll be my friend online, and you'll be able to see my whole entire library. And I thought they were working on this. But, okay, it's all three of us. I have a few games that are no longer offered on these services. Say, I don't know, for some reason they had a, I don't know, say Hudson Soft had a sale. I got the majority of the games. For some reason, you're on vacation and didn't get a chance to get them. Well, your chance, the only way you can get them is if someone sells them to you or they let you borrow them. Me, of course, as a friend, I'll let you borrow them. So you send me a request. What'll happen is you'll go to my profile, be my friend. Okay, I see you have Super Bunk. Can I borrow that? You'll send a little thing saying, hey, can I borrow it? I'll get a little email saying, okay, Gaz wants to borrow Bunk. And you put in, you want to borrow days, you have to, you know, it's pre-selected. What happens is when you send that request to me, it's gonna charge off, but not right then. It's not gonna charge it off until I say yes or no. If I say no, you won't get charged. But as soon as I say yes, what's gonna happen is that there's gonna be a transfer fee of, I'm just gonna say XX, so I'll just say 50 cents for you to borrow it from me. What happens is that game will be pulled from my library. So when I try to play it, so say it's due back tomorrow, and I thought it was due back today to me. When I go to play it, it's going to say, oh, you can't play this. You don't have rights to it right now. Gaz, so you can't play it. Even though I'm still sitting in my library, it's going to be grayed out. It's going to have borrowed by Gaz. Now, say I want to gift it to you. What's going to happen then is that I will choose. Happens, let me know, hey, once you gift this back, gift this to Gaz, you will not be able to get it back. I mean, I will say we should be able to work that out. But that's going to be like a double gift where you would gift it back to me or sell it back to me, and I never got that far into it. But that's how I want to deal with, quote-unquote, used games online where, you know, we pay a small fee. I know somebody's like, oh, Warren, that sounds crazy. The companies have to pay for the servers, so you can't ignore that. And that's how I would, you know, that's how – I mean, I think – isn't Steam doing that? where you can trade games or gift them away now?
You can gift games, so you can buy a game for a friend, I think.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm not sure what other features they offer.
Oh, okay. But see, that's what I was trying to say. Something like, someone should sit down, think about how that works. I mean, don't rob me. I'm not going to pay you $20 to transfer a game. I don't care if it's rare or not. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I'll say the tops is, what, maybe $2. If I sell you a game, I should be able to put in my price that I want for it. Like, say right now, like on Xbox Live. I have Smash TV. I think I have Gauntlet. And I have one other game. Those games aren't, Double Dragon, they're not on Xbox Live anymore. So if you want that game from me, I'm going to automatically charge you $25 for it if you really want it. If you don't want it, don't bother me. And that's what I would say. Hey, you're not buying it. I'll let you borrow it. And, you know, when the time is up, it sends the game right back to me, which means, you know, say you come back on Tuesday and press the button, say, oh, no, the game's been, it's not here anymore. It'll say, game has been returned to Warren. If you want to borrow it again, send another request. Mm-hmm. You know, it will give you, you know, realistic borrowing is about, what, two... will be, what, 3 months or whatever, you know. So that's something that the programmers would have to sit down and, you know, look at. I mean, because these games we're talking about, I mean, it's kind of awkward to be sitting here talking about Nintendo when there's emulators out there and some people suffice with those. But I'm a person where I have some emulators on my Ouya and I don't play them that often, you know, because I have my Super Nintendo and my old Nintendo that I prefer to play on because when I play an old system, I want the full authentic experience. That's why I couldn't really get into the Wii itself with the controller did not feel right for me.
Yeah, I think the main thing is, isn't it, especially with downloadable games, need to make it reasonable offer so that you're willing to download it. Like with the 360, if you have a gold account, you can download a free game every 2 weeks, I think. And plus you get regular deals on get games, so you can get 25% off, 50% off, even up to 75% off. And get games.
Two free games a month. I don't know. They're old games, a lot of them are old games, nothing new. They could, why don't they just give you a decent game for once? Well, a game that's not been out, it's been out less than a year. What's the game this month? I can't remember, but it's like a 6-year-old game. It's like, really? Who wants to play that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I said too about Xbox or Microsoft, by the way. Yeah. But keep in mind, there's a lot of people who haven't played those kind of games, so therefore the popular demand would be there, kinda.
Yeah, I think that's all.
I know that's what you're saying. That's what I said to, like, you know, thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah.
That's how I look. I mean, I know it sounds like I'm grateful, but it's kind of like, give me something new, you know?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It sounds like, yeah, a bit ungrateful, but at the end of the day, treat us, you're going to give us a proper game to play.
Yeah.
I know with the PlayStation Plus service, you can get newer games like every so often, but the only downside to that is you don't get to keep the game once your PlayStation Plus account expires, so you won't be able to play them again unless you renew your account, which is the only downside to that, whereas with the 360, you get to keep the games regardless, so which is the only real plus side, but if the Xbox was willing to, or Microsoft was willing to actually give more newer games each month, it would be better overall. But just give you a chance to play older games you didn't get to play before. So like me, I've only got jumped in a few years after the Xbox originally launched. So
now
I get to experience the games that came out originally or came out a few years before I started to play on the 360.
I don't know, nobody can turn a nose up at a free game, but, well, they can, like I do. I look at the free games and I'm thinking, oh my god, I mean, I've downloaded pretty much every single one, but have I really played any of them? Not really.
No, exactly.
Yeah, there's a few I've played. Some have played more than others, but...
Because they're rubbish.
Yeah, most of the games I'm not going to play anyway, free or not. I mean, I know it sounds bad, but yeah, I just... I, you know, back when I was teenage years, heck yeah, I'd be all over that. But, you know, I was a person at 18, you know, once I learned how to make my own money in school with selling candy and stuff, I turned stuff down. I was like, no, I don't want to play that because I got something better. You know, I got double. You want to go play, what was that? I forget, the game everybody likes, River City Rampage, which is a great game, but I had Double Dragon. So, version, you know. But, you know, I still enjoy those games. But that's what I was trying to say. With the download, it sounds great to people who don't have access, because it is great. It is great. Like PSN Plus, oh, if you're new to PSN, get it. Get it for 3 months if you don't get it for a whole year. The whole year is a little bit better, but 3 months gives you more than enough a taste of what it is. And it's awesome if you're not buying physical copy of games. If you're buying physical copies, it still accents your experience. For mine, it was great for what it was, but every game they were giving away for free, I did not want. They only had one game that I liked, and I think it was like the King of Fighters or something like that. I played it because I was going to buy it. I was so glad I got a chance to play it. Oh, that game was awful for me. I did not like it at all. I played my friends, and it was fun. But outside of that, the majority of the three games, you know, like full versions of real games, I didn't care for. I love all the indie stuff that I was getting for free. That's what I love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, stuff heard of and never played, and it was like really fun. So, you know, but it's worth it though. But, you know, they need to get a price cap on that. So, some kind of price cap, something that's affordable. Like you said, people who can't afford it when it first comes out, you know, because now I fit that category where I can't afford it anymore. But I can't afford it not just financially, time wise. Already in that category in 2008, where I buy 4 or 5 games when they come out and throw them on the floor and sit there and play Crackdown and Street Fighter all day. So, which was bad. I could have waited. When I did get around to playing the games, it was 2 years later, and the game was now only worth about brand new. I could buy the same game for $29. Brand new. All of them. If not less. So I learned my lesson from that. You know, if I'm not going to play it immediately, I'm not rushing out to get it.
Yeah. I mean, the conclusion is that new games at the moment are a bit too pricey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think overall they do need to lower the prices, both for physical copies and digital downloads, especially with digital downloads. Because if you're going to have the physical copy prices so high, why have the download prices so high? I mean, I don't know. Maybe because of hype of the new game and gamers who don't want to go out to store and know the game's going to be sold out in stores.
It doesn't really matter. They can get a physical copy by ordering it from a website. It's easy. And the website will deliver it for free. maybe Shop2Net or GameStation. Anyone, you can get it. You don't have to go out to the shops to buy a physical copy. You really don't.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you don't. I mean, my thing would be really nice. I don't know how this will work, but Gaz, you probably can answer it a little bit better than I can think of it, but I would love it, like with the DuckTales thing, when people found out that it didn't have a physical disc, a lot of people got angry. Like, oh no, it's only digital? Like, yeah. And but I would have loved it if that had a physical disc. I would have easily paid $39 for that new remastered DuckTales, and that's kind of really stretching it, because really the game is only worth maybe $25. But I would love to have a digital copy, which actually I now do have, and I haven't really had time to put much time into playing it, you know, more than about 30 minutes. But I would love to have bought the digital version and then, bought the physical version for the $39. Then, since I already bought it, it's on my, you know, the thing can see where I put it in a hard drive. Okay, now when I go to buy the digital copy, it gives me a link to buy it. And the digital copy only cost me, what, like $8 to $9? Well, I'll say $9 to $12 for it, you know, pending. You know, two copies, one's digital, one's the disc, which means now... You come over and you want to borrow it, I say, hey, you can borrow my disc, don't scratch it, even though I have a digital copy, you know, so I can still play it. So, you know, and then, better yet, if it's a game that is two-player, I can let you take my physical copy home and play my digital copy with you online or whatever, you know, and that has to be thought out. So, I mean, what would you think about them doing something like that, where it's like, this idea actually came from the DuckTales, but in actuality, it's kind of like how they're doing Blu-rays now, where you buy a Blu-ray, and they package in the DVD and the digital copy, whatever that means, inside the package, and it's all part of the package now.
Yeah, you can get pretty much three versions of the game. You get the Blu-ray, you get the DVD version, and you get like a digital version that you can play, that you can use to download onto your iPad or your tablet or anything like that, or your phone. So
yeah, the only downside is some.
That's kind of cool.
The only downside to that is you have to use an account with some of the downloads. You can't quite straight away download it to your iPad or tablet. You have to log into a special account to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You would have to do that. That's what I'm saying. Like PSN. So
the account is free. I mean, I had the and it's called Ultraviolet over in England. I don't know what it's called in the US, but it's Ultraviolet. All you need is a Flickr account. And is it a Flickr? No, a Flickster account, and then something else.
You need a Flickster account and Ultraviolet account, and then you can put it on your tablet or PC or any device.
It's still not hard, though, is it?
It's not difficult, no, but
the accounts are free.
I had problems trying to link them together for a while, and then I was eventually able to solve it, but it was awkward just to link two accounts together before we could actually watch a digital copy of the film. But
there's no extra fee, and it's just you can watch a movie on the go. Then again, you can watch bloody all sorts on the go. Anyway, I've got Netflix on my phone, so if any time I want to watch something, I can watch that on the go.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of ways to access loads of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Just one little thing I want to bring about digital copies before we move on to retro game prices. I think for most platforms, they don't allow you to organise digital copies very well, especially on the 360 and the PS3. Because when you buy a new game or download a new game, then they go into sort of folders, but then on the 360 you have to scroll across from A to Z to find a game you're searching for. You kind of start put them into folders and
it's just alphabetized. I mean, I've got so many games downloaded onto my Xbox 360. Some of them I got free because I reviewed them for the Ramble, so I get free games, and I they're all still on there because I've still got like 90 gig on my hard drive. Or you can do a search, can't you? I'm sure you can do a Bing search for anything that's on your hard drive, can't you? I don't know.
I think so, yeah. But if it wasn't like in sort of folder system, I think 3DS does this and the iOS does this, especially where you can sort out into folders what categories, whether it's like RPGs, action, shooters, horrors. You can just stick them in a folder of your own choice, and can you customise those folders.
Well, that's the thing. That's the beauty with the new Xbox One now. All you have to do is talk to it, and you can find it.
That's pretty handy.
And anything for you, it's brilliant.
Yep. So, any more to say about prices of modern games, or should we move on to retro games?
Prices of modern games? Nah, they need to come down in price a bit.
Down, right?
Then again, it's a brand new console. The prices were going to be high anyway, so console price was. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, so moving on to the pricing of the retro games. First question: what is the most you'd be willing to spend on an old retro game, regardless of how rare it is?
Well, I'll tell you what the most I've spent on a retro game, and it's not actually a retro game. It's a bonus disc. It's for Shining Force 3 on the Sega Saturn. And I paid £63 for it. And it completed my Japanese Shining collection. That's the most I've ever paid for a game. I mean, it's not even a game. It's just a bonus disc. But I don't know. Some games now just go for silly prices. They really do. Games are getting rarer.
Yeah, if it's me, I don't tend to spend any more than I would spend on a collector's edition of a modern game, or just like a regular game that's just come out. If it could help it, I wouldn't spend more than that, to be honest. But it depends how much I want the game and how rare it is, and if we can find the best deal for it. But usually try not to spend too much because obviously we want to get the best price possible, but in some situations, if there's a game we really want, we've got to fork out the cash.
Hello?
Yep. Yes, sir.
But you cut off then.
Yeah, you cut off like really, really, and you start right there.
Yeah. It's like you've not finished your conversation.
Yeah, it's just a signal error, I think. Okay. Yeah, carry on.
Okay, you say you really wouldn't get the game unless you really, really, I guess, wanted it.
Yeah, unless I really wanted it, so it really had to have it. Like, there's that one game I had to have and to complete the collection, or if it's just a game I need for my collection, then I'll try not to fork out too much money unless it's a game I really, really want.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a price of any kind of game there. I mean, I want $1 for it. That's on Super Nintendo. Now, if I could afford it, okay, on my Neo Geo, I paid upwards, I think, $120 for one cartridge, and that was for, oh my gosh, what was it? It wasn't for Cyberlip. Cyberlip cost me like $80 plus. Because shipping, because I bought it from Japan. I was a beginner. I didn't know much. My first original game came from Canada. It was an MVS. Mm-hmm. I have a AES. And I'm going to send it back to him. I say, no, don't worry about it. It's my fault. I should have, and he learned to also put MVS on it. Even though he did put it on there, I didn't know what it meant. I thought it meant most valuable. It's two different systems. I broke the cartridge, actually, which I could have gave away. It only cost $15. Sent it back, but it cost $15, so I was like, I just count my losses. But, I paid $120 for War Heroes 2. I can't remember if it was actually bad, it was actually threw them one of them away, and I have War Heroes right now, and, I don't have the one that I know I love, but I cleaned up a few years ago and put them in a box, and my roommate threw the box away. With my Magician Lord, Samurai Showdown, and that game inside. So, bad luck for me. That's about $600 worth of games street now. So I have to reclaim them if I can, but I can't right now. So, but my price for any retro game, I mean, excluding SNK, I usually try to keep my prices under $50. I mean, unless it's something, I don't know. I really, there's no game really that I would try to, outbid for once it hits past 50. I try anything outside of SNK. I really try not to pay more than $50 for a game that I really, really want. I kind of stop at the $30 mark. I really don't know any game that I would fight over right now. I don't know. There's no game out right now on no system. I love my Sega CD, my Dreamcast. Well, no. I would say I don't know if there's anything on Dreamcast I would fight for right now. I don't think so. No. That's me. So but like on game, if I was getting something for DS, I don't. That's not retro. I'll take it back. On Game Boy, yeah, I'm not gonna pay more than like $20 for a game. It all depends on what it comes with. If it comes with boxing book, yeah, Chess Master, I would pay $15 for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Of course, it comes down to the condition of the game and what it comes with as well. And a lot of old SNES games, I believe in America especially, have gone up in price, haven't they?
When I go out, I don't really see that big of a price.
Who's clapping away there? Oh, I just lost one. Oh, hold on. Let's try and get him back. And still not connecting. One sec. Yes, trying to connect now. Sorry about this doesn't always happen. I mean, it happened. Obviously, it happened every so often, but when it cuts off like this, there's not much that can be really. Back on. You there, one?
Sounds like Max Headroom.
Yeah,
you hearing that as well?
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Ah, oh, that's funny.
So what we're trying to get one back, guys, what do you reckon is a system that has games that are overly priced for retro games? Or the prices get ridiculously high?
Well, I don't think there's any system that has stupid games. There's always going to be, every single system has rare games.
We're back. Okay.
And then the rare games are the ones that are obviously going to cost more.
Yeah.
Every system has games that you can pick up for a pound or 50p. I mean, take the Mega Drive and the Master System. There's plenty of games you can pick up for next to nothing. And then you've got the super rare games, which are going to cost you hundreds. And that's every single. That's just the way it is. If you want to go to complete, at some point you're going to have to pay the price.
Sure will.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just point just bring up quickly. If you're going out in the wild looking for a good game, you find a game that interests you, but you're not sure about the price, and you haven't got access to check on eBay or anything to see what sort of price goes for. So what would you do in that situation? If it's a game you liked, but you didn't know if the price was a fair price or not for that game. I mean, it could be any system, pre PS3 and.
Not an allergy.
Yeah.
If I found a game, I wasn't sure if the price was any good. I just ask them to hold it for me until I could make that decision. I'm sure they don't mind. Just hold it for me, just for a day. I just need.
What if you haven't got a day?
I can't see anyone having a problem with that.
Yeah, I used to do it back in the day. I was really rare, but I always hold it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Craig does it. Craig will hold your game or hold your system. At a retro session, just hang on it. He's done it for me before. I haven't had any money until the end of the week. Oh, just hold it for me. The end of the week. Yeah, no problem. Because
yep.
He knows he's going to get it eventually.
Yep.
Done that a few times. Because you guarantee it's a system that they will go. It's a popular store, and the games will sell.
Uh-huh. Yep.
For sure, Nick. But say it was a game you came across. It looked interesting. You hadn't seen before, and had a tempting price, but you weren't sure whether to go over or not. You had and say you had a 1 minute decision: either buy it now or just risk leaving it there and not. Say like in a charity shop or.
No, I don't know. You'd probably just take a risk, wouldn't you? Bloody hell. Life isn't worth living if you don't take risks.
Yeah.
Right.
And again.
Yep.
Exactly. Yep. It'd be boring otherwise. So, of course, everyone takes a risk now and again. It's the whole point of living.
Yep.
So has there been any risks if you've taken that have actually paid off, and any risks that haven't paid off? So, say, obviously, I know one case with you, Gaz, where you got a game and it paid off quite a bit for you, and any.
Oh, it's quite a lot, but then again, I didn't know that game was rare. I really didn't.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I picked. And I had no idea of its rarity. And I sold it for, how much did I sell it for now? I can't remember, £150, £170, I don't know. But yeah, this happens. Yeah. I didn't buy that game because. I wanted to risk or buy it. I just bought it because it was a a game that I hadn't had in my collection at that point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Microsoft decided to, charge an extra money to re-release certain Xbox games, like Guilty Gear Reloaded. And what happened was they want to charge, I think they're like charging like 15, the same game for I think like $7 or something like that. I said, I'm not lying. I didn't even have any interest in the game, really. I was just mad at them for doing what they're doing. And I just went to the GameStop and saw the game and I bought it. But while I was there, I saw a copy of Jurassic Park Operation Genesis. And I was like, I didn't know they had Jurassic Park on Xbox. So I bought it, not knowing anything about it. It's not super rare, but it is a slightly highly sought after game. I've seen people buying like $400 for this game. I'm like, This is like my friend that's at EA. That game does fetch a little bit of money, so you know you're gonna sell it. You know he didn't make any offers, so because he knows he couldn't afford it. But at the same time, he knew I would just trade out for him just to keep it in the family. So I snagged up the Atari cartridges, you know, ColecoVision, and some NES. Not a lot of me that I don't see often, so I do grab those.
Yeah. Well, for me, I often take two minis because obviously, out and about, a search for. Maybe a dishwasher in the background or a machine.
No, it's a printer.
Oh, it's a printer. Oh.
No, that's my missus. She's just printing off her college work.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so for me, I don't often take two movies. So, I mean, so it's only like with the only risk I'll be taking is with some demo discs for the PS2. I'm taking a risk sometimes. So I bought a bundle of them, and the only. I can't remember exactly how much I paid for it, but I got about seven PS2 demo discs, and a couple of discs were missing, but managed to get a few spare boxes out of it, and that's it. So, I mean, I don't know if it's, to be honest, I don't know if they're worth anything. I've looked the prices, so they look like they fetch a few quid each, but nothing to break the bank with or anything, but... But for the most part, when I'm out searching for games, I just either use my own instincts or have a quick look on eBay or something to get a quick price comparison of how much you would go for online.
I mean, everyone now has got a phone that connects to the internet, so it's quite easy to easily look something up.
Yeah, so
with no problems at all.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a particular game, you can find it pretty easily and see if it's worth picking it up, or if it's not really worth your time. Usually, you can find a game that's worth picking up, but sometimes just look at the price of how much we're going for on eBay and compared to one particular charity shop, which I think, as you know, which one I'm talking about, the one we were selling Mortal Kombat on Mega Drive for more money than they should have been selling it for.
Yeah, it's around about £8, wasn't it, I think?
Eight or £10, I think. I think they did reduce the price eventually, but I just thought it was a bit much for a shadow shop to be asking that much for it, especially when they were selling like this one of these Halifax or NatWest piggies for about £35.
Yeah, but that's worth it.
Yeah, but I'm look online or looking at how people estimate it on TV shows and that the collection's worth about £50 or so. So just for one seems a bit high price, but anyway, let's get off topic. So generally, if you've got access to the internet, it's easy just like to look at the price of a game and see how much it can fetch, and then. Then just take the decision if you want to pick it up or try and pick it up at a later date. So.
Mhm.
Yeah, but is there any games out there you think are overpriced? I mean, obviously you hear about the valuable ones: Nintendo World Championship, Earthbound, Musha on Mega Drive Genesis.
Musha. What about it?
Yeah, that's supposed to be a rare game for the Mega Drive Genesis, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was not super rare, but I know it's like up there, but I think it's like super rare.
From what I heard, it was about $50 to $100 worth. I think that's last time I heard, but I don't know if it's gone up in price since.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, I was talking. I never played it. I mean, I just said hello to one of the developers like last week. For the what's his name? Toki Shinada. He's on my friend list from another group, and he was actually with one of the developers that work on Musha. Yeah. So, that was like last week sometime.
Yeah, I mean, will always be those rare games on a particular system that are hard to come by. I mean, for some systems, the game's not. There were so few sold for each of the games, it doesn't really matter. Or again, it depends on the popularity. But for the most part, I think some prices are fair, but other times I think they do ask for quite a bit. I think, again, it probably depends on the hype and the moment people talk about it, and obviously the price of the game seems to go up when it used to be so much. For a particular game, then it goes up in price and it becomes harder and harder to get and more sought after because of how people are talking about it. It's just one of these things that varies. Sometimes it can be a fair price and sometimes it can't, but then again, it depends who's selling it, and if it's is it a bundle deal, or is it from someone you know and trust, or from a particular shop. I mean, obviously, we talk about registration quite a bit on there, but whenever we go there, all the prices are fair. They're often below eBay prices, so you're often paying less than you would pay on eBay, and you can usually get a really good deal in stores. So, I think we're just having problems on Gaz's end, just not connecting to Skype at the minute. No, what's going on? One minute, so it's working, and just about an hour in, and it sort of all starts to mess up. Let me just press this gas and see if we get this sorted.
Okay.
Again, sorry to everyone listening. I'm sure this is annoying to not hear this lot. Cut to certain parts and when we're talking, but it's just one of those things that it's difficult to control. I mean, there's certain things you can do to control it, but then if there's problems on one end or problems on whichever end, whether it's a connection issue or an issue with Skype or the recorder or... if there's something I can do to change it, then... But. Just hope that you enjoy the podcast episode, regardless, because we enjoy doing it. I mean, it's just these issues we keep technical issues we keep having, and can't seem to get anywhere sometimes. Okay, I don't think we'll be able to get back in touch with Gaz in a minute, having Skype trouble, so hopefully we'll get Gaz back on. But anything else to mention about the price of retro games, or should we move on to topics? You reckon what?
Yep, I'm here.
Yep, so anything else to add, or?
No, I think you covered that.
Yeah, well, if it's, what we've talked about isn't too scrambled, and hopefully it makes sense when it it's all edited. But yeah, so should we move on to what we've been watching recently?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, keep trying to get through to Gaz. So do you want to go first one?
Of course. Well, as of last night, night before last, I'm back on Supernatural. I'm all excited again. I don't know why I stopped watching it then, but, you know, I stopped watching because I don't want it to be over. But I'm back on that. I'm on season 5, if I'm not mistaken, with the two brothers, and it's really good. It's gotten a lot better and a little bit more scarier than previous, because certain things are happening to certain people. Like I said, I watched Ender's Game like a few weeks ago, and then I forget, I watched one more game and one more other thing, but I've been watching like a lot of Avengers type animated shows, and they're pretty nice. Let me see what else. There's one other show that I was watching. What was it? Helix. I never mentioned that when we were talking. Helix is a show on Sci-Fi. It's not on Netflix yet. It might be coming later on. I'll probably have to watch it again because I've watched every episode, but sometimes I'm working while I'm watching, and, you know, that's not a good thing to do. And so I do catch the majority of it, and I have another friend on your phone. See, and then I'll stop talking. Then you hear it. And then you talk. We just basically take turns talking. He watches it every Friday night, and he's like, "Hey, Helix is coming on. You watching it?" So I watch like the second showing, and I've been watching a little bit of Bitten. I will say I'm not really sold on that show because most people in that show are so young. But it's a pretty decent show for what it is. And I think that's really. Yeah, that's really it, besides watching Jurassic Park. So, that's all I'm watching.
Good selection. So not back through with Gaz, so I'll just go quickly through what I've been watching. Hopefully we can get Gaz back on, we'll go through what he's been watching. But for me, I've been watching Walking Dead Season 4, so I'm up to Episode 12.
Okay.
Yep, so I'm still really enjoying the show and looking forward to see what happens in episode 13. And I've noticed there is confirmation on season 5.
Okay.
Which apparently is where they go, minor spoiler here, where they go to DC. If anyone hasn't watched Walking Dead, I apologize for spoiling, but I won't give any more spoilers away.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good because it's how it views what happens to all the characters at the moment after what happened after the mid-season finale. So it's good to see how they're developing the characters and also see if they'll all get through it. But we'll just see how that goes. And what else? I'm sure there's something else I've been watching. No, I think that's really it, to be honest. Another week where I haven't been watching too much TV or right. Movies. So play a few games, but that's really about it. So while waiting for Gaz, we'll just go through what I've been playing recently. So I've been looking forward to this Wednesday when it was released on the 360 worldwide is The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 2. So I've played through that, and it's just as like the first one, it's great. So it gives you a lot more decisions to make, and I think there's different possibilities leading towards the end, so you can go completely different routes than you would normally do in episodes, because you do follow a specific route, but you can like, change it slightly, but I think with the end of episode 2, it sort of hints that you're going down a different route, where if you did this other thing, you might go down a completely different route, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Yep, so there's major decision. Obviously, there's a reveal of a character from season 1 who makes a return, but I won't spoil that if you haven't played it yet, have you?
No, I have not, so please do not.
Okay, I won't wish for it, but it's depending on if you figured it out or not, it's a genuine surprise, so.
Wow.
And I'd be interested to hear what your reaction is to, when it happens, Warren, but yeah, I won't spoil any more about that.
Okay.
But yeah, we still play as Clementine, and you definitely explore more options, and you get to show different gameplay aspects. So yeah, it's definitely coming along. So I'm looking forward to season. Not season three. That's not been announced yet. Episode three of The Walking Dead. So looking forward to when that comes out, or whenever that's announced. Hopefully, for the next month or two. But whenever it will be coming out, so I'll be getting ready to play it.
Uh-huh.
And other than that, a few iPhone games, Angry Birds Star Wars 2, been trying to unlock a few characters with that. But without trying to spend any money in the app purchases. I'm trying to avoid doing that if I can.
Uh-huh.
And, what else? I've been playing a bit more Animal Crossing. Played it again after so long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, yep, a couple of changes have been made, but, yes, the snow's finally gone, so it looks more cheerful again. I think the snow's good for a little bit, but then I think it dawns on me just how depressing it can look after a bit. So now it's green again, I'll probably be playing a little bit more. Also, a bit more of GTA Online or Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PS3, and a little bit of Minecraft. So just been expanding my world a little bit more. I'm trying to figure something out at the moment, but for some reason it's not working, so hopefully we can get that sorted. But as for the Minecraft video, it is edited, and but I might have to reproduce it because I think the file size is a bit too big, so I need to try and upload it.
How big is it?
It's 1.7 gigs.
Oh no, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's the right size it should be if it's an hour.
Yeah, it's about the right size, and just thinking like how long it's going to upload. So, but I won't try to decide because I won't have time, but I'll try and upload it maybe next couple of days and see how it goes.
Yeah, y'all take your computer out in the next room and upload it while you're sleeping, because that's the best time. When I do hour-long videos, I only do it when I know I'm not going to be using my computer, because I don't want nothing to happen, you know. I monitor it a little bit sometimes, like you know, when like yesterday, I was on a 430 gigabyte move from my slow hard drive, and you know, I was using my computer, and I also was editing video and stuff. But my computer is, you know, that was made for doing for multitasking, and you know, yeah, it started grinding a little bit. We can hear the fan, but it took care of everything just fine. 4 hours later, I was done, still working.
Yeah, I haven't made like major edits to the video recorded ones, just to added like a title at the beginning and the credits at the end. So,
right.
But yeah, no problems, I don't think. So, hopefully I can upload the whole thing, so I don't have to cut it into parts. Which will be better overall. But hopefully we'll see. And another thing I do need to get back to this, the videos of where we do the spoiler talks. Need to get back to finish off that so we can be ready to talk about season 2.
Yeah.
When that's all done. So I think I've just got episode 5 to finish editing for that, and also the 400 days one, because we did talk about that, but I didn't actually I haven't started to edit that one. It's just episode 5 needs to finish editing at some point. Still about just over halfway with that, but I haven't had much time to get round to editing that video particularly. But yeah, but I'm scrambling on at the minute, so that's pretty much all been playing. So what about you, Juan?
Well, let's see, what have I been playing? Of course I've been playing a little in Rhythm Heaven. I'm trying to think what I was playing some other game. Of course, I'm back on Kingdom Crush, playing it on iPad. That's the iPad game I'm playing. And I'm playing another game called Order Up. I don't know if you've heard about that game, but it's on PS3. I think it's also on Wii, and that's why I kind of ignored it when it first came out, because it was another, you know, Cooking Mama type game. But for some reason, over here we have the National Pancake Day. For some reason, I was like, why don't they have a PS Move game where I can flip cakes and flip burgers? And so I looked it up really quick and found Order Up. Granted, it only is local players, not online, so I didn't buy it on PSN. But it was for free on iPad. So I did it and got it. And actually, I like it. And actually, I'm going to be playing it after I hang out with you here. I want to finish the podcast. Because it's pretty fun. You know, you sit there and you put the prize in the grease. And you basically just slide down to make it go down. And then slide. And and also, when you slice tomatoes, they say you want to cut. It's not mindless. It's like the tomato will have like these little lines that open and close to show you how thick it is, and you want to slice it when it's at its thinnest, which is pretty neat. You can fry burgers, fry pancakes, grate cheese for macaroni and cheese. And if it burns, like if the meat burns, you can throw it away and start over, and it costs you money if you're doing that. So you're running your own little business kind of, and you can hire people to help you. So that's even more funny because they also talk like this one kid, he's only like, buy this place, and I'm going to make you work all day. I'll be your boss. You know, so it's kind of funny. But if I don't know if it can work on iPhone or not, but you can check and find out. But it's really nice. A nice little game. It's one of those microtransaction games. You can pay to have the ads removed. It's like $1.99. I was like, nah, that's okay. Because I didn't think I got like the game. But I might end up doing some of that, and I will keep you posted if I do. But Order Up is really nice. It's on PSN for like $9.99. I might get it later on, but I can't say I will because, like I said, I got to do the Walking Dead thing. So if I take a break from Walking Dead, which I might wait for the next episode to come out before I play it, I don't know because I didn't plan not to play this episode, but the way they were doing it, they confused me, and it, you know, kind of hurt me just a little bit. But outside of those two games, I was playing a new game on Ouya called Ninja Hero Cats, and the title sounds silly. Yes, it does. And I said, I got to at least play it, because if you look at it as an old school gamer, the first thing you think of when you see it is you think of Toe Jam and Earl because of the way that the view is. And you think about Zelda a little bit too, but it's not like Zelda at all. And so I downloaded it, and it won me over within like 12 seconds. And I was like, oh, wow, because the music is pretty decent. The graphics are small but detailed. And basically you're just this like gang of cats. You go around the map beating up stuff and getting points and upgrading. it's an Android game, so because someone actually had sideloaded it originally, but now they ported it over to the Ouya, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty neat. I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm gonna probably play that later on tonight, actually, after I get finished doing my work here and playing Order Up, because Order Up, like I said, it is a pay, it's like a microtransaction game where you can play it for so long, and then you kind of have to stop playing. I mean, you can keep serving the same food over and over again, which is kind of repetitive, but if you want to, you can do it, but I don't do that. I try to serve about 20 people in one day, and then I call it a day. Oh, and I'm sorry, on Order It Up, you can actually go train and get coins and stuff so you don't have to pay, but you only can do it once a day. And you can't fail. If you fail, then, you know, basically have to wait till tomorrow to do it again. But this one Chinese chef, he teaches you how to, like, cut carrots. And, you know, you have to cut at least X and X amount of carrots before this amount of time is over. And as long as you get it, you get coins. And then there's one where you have to do, like, the fruit ninja thing. But you have to do what they show you on the screen. If you don't do the shape, like, if it does a circle from left to right, you have to do that. If you do it from left right to left, it will not count. So, but that's what that. But getting back to the Ninja Hero Cats, it's pretty neat. And if you have access to an Android device, I would advise to play it because it's one of those casual games, you know, it's just casual. I don't know if it's two players or not, but it'd probably be a heck of a ride if it is. I'm trying to think. I downloaded quite a few games for the Ouya, but that game right there caught my attention and kept it, as you can see. There's like five or six new games they have on there, but I didn't play them yet. I only played this one, and that was it. I have not been back on my computer to play any computer games because I just don't have time. Besides Castle Crashers on PSN, because I played that last time. I played Castle Crashers. I haven't downloaded the demo for, what's that game? Strider. I downloaded the demo for that, but I've not installed it yet. I'm going to sit this one out. It's a great game, but I'm going to sit it out. And I think that's it. Oh, I'm sorry. I played Gex also. I played Gex this weekend. I streamed that live, actually. Game is kind of hard on PSN, but on 3DO, it's still hard, but not as tedious with the controller. But that's all I'm playing.
Good selection.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still unable to get back through these again. I'm not sure what the problem is. It says it's online here, but I know I've messaged Gaz, but it says Skype's not working, so unless we can get him back in a couple of minutes, don't think we'll have him back on tonight, unfortunately, but hopefully get his word in on what he's been watching and playing, but yeah, it's just one of those things, again with the technical issues, one of those things out of our hands, so... So the one week we get Gaz back, we can't get him back in.
Yeah.
He's lost in the ruins.
He's in the ruins.
Yeah, bad pun aside. Sorry about this, Gaz. Hopefully he can get back in. But any highlights for the week for you, Warren?
Yes, that's the week for me.
Anything happen or just an average week for you?
It's an average week. Again, my friend let me borrow his copy of Star Wars. What is it called? Star Wars: Force Unleashed Part 2. I haven't finished Part 1 because I actually had the Legendary Edition of it. Sold it. Because I got stuck, so I don't feel like playing this anymore. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. It's fun, but. You know, when it got to that one level, I couldn't pass. I was like, "This is getting out of hand." It's been a regular week. I traded some stuff out. I had an old DS Lite that I traded a friend out and a few dollars for his copy of a Arcos tablet. Arcos, I think 10 or 101. I'm sorry, 10 inches and. To mess around with. I'm probably end up getting to my roommate for it, you know, if it works enough for him, but he might not like it, so I might end up actually, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what I'd do with it. Probably find somebody else who might like it and try to sell it to them or something. I don't know. Okay. Nothing great, nothing bad or anything like that. But I will say you did leave one thing out on gaming. I don't know if you knew about it or not. But the owner of I forget her name, the one lady who did the Ouya, they're releasing apps for the Ouya. It's like the Ouya Experience, kind of like, it's called something else, but it's called the Ouya Experience, where you can actually download the Ouya shop onto your whatever device you want, tablet, phone, whatever, and download and play Ouya games, exclusives.
Is it exclusive to Android devices, or can it be used on iPads or iPhones, or PCs?
They did not clarify that, and that's what I was saying. This on iPad, wow. Because there's a new Android device coming out, and it allows you to play it. So it's like, well, why would you buy Ouya now if you can get these devices or play it anywhere else now? And like, you still play it on Ouya. I mean, you know, but I think it'll be groundbreaking, and it's awesome. You can play anywhere now. You want to go? Hey, you don't need to be locked into a DS or a DS Vita. You know, you can take your games wherever you want to go now.
It'd be interesting and see about what's compatible with. I mean, if you can use it on a 3DS or PS Vita, possibly not a 3DS, but PS Vita, I can possibly see that you use the Ouya features. But yeah, that sounds interesting if it's going in that direction. But then what that means for the Ouya, would people bother with the console then? Yes, I'd say.
Right.
But for me, the only highlight I'd probably mention is that I'm up to date with the Walking Dead TV series. So after I was asked long ago by someone, have you watched The Walking Dead? And said I only watched the first two episodes of season one. And said you need to watch the other episodes. Now I'm up to date. So now I don't have to turn around and say I'm up to this season, I'm up to that season, I'm up to this episode. I can say I'm up to date. So
right. I can say it because I can.
So nothing to brag about. Just to say I'm on the same level. So I'm not well behind on what's happening in the world of the Walking Dead TV series, and I'm also up to date with the Walking Dead game as well. So
I'm a rootin' tootin' Walking Dead bro.
Yeah, but that's really it for me, and I don't think we'll be able to get Gaz on, unfortunately. But if you're listening, Gaz, thanks for being on as always. So hopefully next week, if you're back with us, we'll hopefully won't have this trouble of trying to get you back onto the podcast. I'll keep trying to finish off. But any last words from you on?
No, everything was good. Roger.
Yes. Yeah, so overall good episode, but just the fact of the technical issues getting in the way again, and just like spoil things in the way. But hopefully, if we find out what the issue is about it, suddenly cutting the Skype calls off and connection going completely.
Yeah.
Then we'll have to worry about this in future episodes. But of course, any suggestions on how we can solve it, please let us know.
Yep.
Thanks to Gaz, who's unable to return back to us, and thanks to Swine as always.
You're welcome, thank you.
Not at all, one. And for anyone else, thank you very much for listening, and until next time, we'll see you later. Take care, and good night.
Bye.